we present our annual newsreel. Window on Holland. And again we open our window to show you what happened this year in and around the Netherlands.
Not a very exciting year for Holland. I mean exciting in the field of politics. No interior troubles, no Indonesian problem. Although there have been economic problems and other difficulties.
Still, there have been plenty of events which justify their inclusion in this annual roundup. Congresses, sports celebrations, music and ballet, immigration, reconstruction, ECA help, diplomatic relations, aviation, shipping, exhibitions, and of course the royal state visits of Queen Juliana and Prince Bernhard to Paris and London.
Yes, that was their welcome in Paris in May, when our royal couple paid their first official visit abroad since the Queen's investiture in 1948. What splendor, what enthusiasm was explained by this friendly nation when the Queen and Prince drove through the cheering crowds through the Champs-Élysées to the presidential palace, where they stayed for 3 days.
A wreath was laid at the tomb of the unknown soldier under the Arc de Triomphe. A visit was paid to Versailles. There was a special gala party at the Grand Opera, where the Queen was splendidly saluted by the band of the Garde Républicaine.
After a reception at the Paris Town Hall by the Mayor, Pierre de Gaulle, Queen Juliana visited the students at the Cité Universitaire. There she made a speech in which she said that nowadays, there is a bridge which leads from idealism to reality. Never had there been a stronger appeal for help than now. The solution to this problem, the Queen said, was to be great in remission and small in self-glorification. That is the way to build a bridge which leads to a better life and which can only serve mankind and assure its freedom. That is the design of a united Europe.
A pont qui mènera à une vie responsable et meilleure, ce qui ne pourra que servir l'humanité et assurer sa liberté.
A united Europe. Yes, the Queen was right. And I know that many of the European countries and peoples think likewise. Only a few days before Queen Juliana spoke these words in Paris, the Spanish philosopher, Salvador de Madariaga, visited Holland. And we asked him, did he think European unity possible?
Of course it is. It is difficult, but it is possible.
Well, if he says so, it must be possible.
Yes, but remember, we also had another expert opinion. Field Marshal Viscount Montgomery of Alamein. During one of his routine visits to Holland, he was asked what different peoples thought about Western European unity.
I would say that the soldiers are quite convinced of the need for unity in the West. I cannot answer for the politicians and the statesmen. I should go and ask them what they think about it.
All right, we'll do that. And who else could we ask but Dutch Foreign Minister Dirk Sticker, who early this year was appointed political leader of the European Economic Cooperation Organization. His opinion was,
For the integration of European economy, I'm still convinced that progress is possible and that progress can be made in the near future.
The defense ministers of the Atlantic Pact countries met in The Hague in the month of April. Mr. Lewis Johnson from the United States, who presided over the conference, didn't reveal any military secrets when he said,
Your courtesy, your hospitality have been exceedingly great. They have been much appreciated. We gather under happy auspices in that field. You have set a very high mark for the countries who succeed you as hosts.
Yes.
While the ministers conferred, Jose Greco and his Spanish ballet group toured the Netherlands, and they made quite a hit over here. We also had the pleasure of welcoming to this country the American National Ballet Theatre. The reaction of Mary Ellen Moylan, one of the leading ballerinas, was...
Well, I think the Dutch audiences are very wonderful. The people seem to be very interested in ballet here, and since we've been in Holland, we've had the opportunity to talk to many people about ballet, and it's very interesting to hear their views on the subject and exchange ours instead.
Not only American ballet was imported here, but also a lot of goods, martial aid commodities. I should say that by now the Dutch are really ECA-minded. At the beginning of the year, Clarence Hunter, ECA mission chief in Holland, stated,
"The Netherlands government has drafted a prominent Netherlands businessman to direct an export drive and has appointed two special commissions, one from the government and one from business, to advise it on ways to increase dollar sales."
Well, that's not bad at all. And as a result, a Holland fair was held in the Philadelphia Gimbel store, and it proved a tremendous success.
As we stand here among the thousands of Dutch items on exhibition in the United States, we can look around and be proud of what Holland produces. There are so many different products, it is hard to tell about all of them, but we can see sporting goods and foodstuffs, textiles and jewelry and diamonds and pottery and glassware and many more exhibits.
Meanwhile, in Holland, the third anniversary of martial aid was celebrated at Arnhem with an ECA day at which all Americans living in Holland, including Ambassador Selden Chapin, were present. They had lots of fun when they joined in the clog dancing to the strains of the rural band. And from whom could the Dutch have received a finer tribute than from Paul Hoffman, just before he retired as ECA administrator, when he visited Holland last October?
The dollars that we sent to Holland have, in my opinion, proved as effective as any dollars we sent anywhere. The Dutch people have given a response to the help of America that we not only thank them for, but that the American people appreciate, because they have been told much about that help through Mr. Hunter and others.
Thank you, Paul Hoffman. And what is Mr. Hunter's final comment?
In short, Dutch labor is making a genuine contribution to the European recovery program.
Good. That means that Holland's recovery is making considerable headway. You want proof? All right. In Eindhoven, a new factory was opened with the first entirely Dutch card assembly line. The Netherlands clothing industry expanded its foreign market and organized two fashion weeks in Amsterdam for this purpose, including a fashion parade, which was something quite new in this field. A big show for the foreign buyers, which increased the total amount of exports for 1950 to about 80 million guilders.
Yes, what is this thing called love? I think it's the love of the Dutch to do things thoroughly. And that, again, was the device of both Utrecht trade fairs this year. Their directors, Dr. J. Milius, worked so hard that finally he had... How many miles of stands?
That's about 7 miles.
7 miles. Yeah. And you expect people to come and walk that whole distance, or do you carry them around?
Oh, that's impossible. They can't do that.
Oh, no? Well, I think he was wrong. One particular expert from the United States, Henry Dreyfus, the famous industrial designer there, saw the fair at the invitation of the Netherlands government, and his reaction was...
Well, as usual, when I go into large buildings, and as you know, the Utrecht Fair is not something just laid out over acres of land, it's in a fairly tall building, I took an elevator to the top floor. And one thing the Netherlands government owes me is a new pair of shoes. I will not take wooden ones in return for the good leather ones that I wore out.
Do you think he got them?
Well, I'm not so sure, but anyway, it didn't do him any harm. and he was able to listen to that new item at the Utrecht Fair, Dutch bells for export.
Yes, grand. Well, and when you say bells, you also say Holland. And with Holland goes automatically flower bulbs. This year, the Dutch Flower Bulb Growers Export Association celebrated their Golden Jubilee. And to mark that occasion, they opened a new exhibition ground at the Keukenhof near Haarlem. Every year from now on, there will be a permanent show of the most beautiful bulb flowers in the Netherlands, in blossom time, which is April and May.
Well, I found a shamrock among the tulips. Early this year, Mrs. Josephine McNeil was appointed Irish ambassador to the Netherlands.
Naturally, I hope to make many friends in this country. I'm extremely interested to learn something of the Dutch way of life. Dutch homes, for instance, they're famous all the world over. I've seen them so often depicted in the pictures of the old masters, and now I'm happy that I shall have the chance to see some of them in reality.
We also welcome the new Australian ambassador, Mr. Alfred Stirling.
Today, Australia and the Netherlands are inseparably linked by immigration and trade, two factors which vitally affect the economy of both our countries.
Personally, I think that, in a way, the most important visitor this year to Holland was Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. Well, she came to visit the place where Franklin Delano's ancestors are supposed to have come from, Oud Wassermeer in the province of Zeeland.
We are very grateful to find that our desire to see this place from which we think some of our ancestors came to America has brought us to you today and given us the opportunity of seeing not only the lovely country, but the people who have so kindly welcomed us as we have come today. I thank you again, sir, and we are all, my son and my grandchildren, most grateful for your welcome.
From Mrs. Roosevelt to the United Nations is just a step. The relations between the Netherlands and that organization have been very close this year. Closer than ever, I should say. When last February, Mr. Day van Balosek was appointed permanent Netherlands delegate to the United Nations, he stated,
I don't see any reason why the position of Holland now should be less important than it was before.
And that was confirmed first by the appointment of Adrian Pelt as United Nations High Commissioner for Libya. He was formerly Assistant Secretary General to Trygve Lie. At Schiphol Airport, on his way to take up his new post, Mr. Pelt said,
My function is to help and to assist the Libyans in the preparation and organization of an independent state.
Another important appointment was made only a few weeks ago. Dr. van Herven Goedhart of the Dutch United Nations delegation was made High Commissioner for the Refugees.
Holland has also contributed her share to ease that United Nations headache, the war in Korea. She sent a destroyer which has been in action all the time. And later in October, a special Dutch military unit, equal to an American battalion, sailed from Rotterdam for the theater of war. Most of the boys, including their commander, Lieutenant Colonel Den Ouden, are idealists who want to fight aggression. And this was their goodbye. There they went on their big adventure. But many more Dutchmen left this country on another sort of adventure. They emigrated to faraway lands, such as Canada, South Africa, South America, and Australia. They say they have no future here because the country is too small to give them opportunities. And as what are they emigrating?
No, I'm going as a baker, but when I arrive there, I find to do what I can find to do, you see.
You're taking your family?
To make some money first.
Surely.
And to set up a little business when I can.
Your family is going with you?
Going, wife and two children, yes.
Wife and two children. Well, good luck to you. Have a good time when you get there.
Thank you very much.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the Scottish pipe band got to do with our window?
Well, believe it or not, Cyril, this is a Dutch pipe band. Incidentally, the first one of its kind on the European continent. It consists of policemen from the town of Heerlen down south. In April, on Queen's Day, they had their first public performance.
Well, they would have cut a good figure at the Holland Festival, because this year the festival had a much wider scope than the previous ones. But Pierre Monteux, the famous conductor, who is a regular at these festivals, has a much better opinion on this than I have.
I think it is a very wonderful festival, wonderful program. They had some beautiful concert, beautiful opera, and now beautiful ballet, too.
And another regular guest conductor, Leonard Bernstein, from America, was even more emphatic.
So this is my fourth attack in Scheveningen. Every time I enjoy it more. There's a marvelous public here, extremely demanding, very high standard. And since the greatest artists in the world convene here for the Holland Festival every year, the standard goes up and up.
Michael Redgrave was invited by the festival committee to give a series of performances with the Old Vic Company. We asked him whether he'd heard much of the rest of the festival.
We were ourselves performing all the time, and the only evening we had off, I think there was an opera on, which it was impossible to get into.
Yes, of course. That was the highlight of the festival. The first performance of the opera Philomela by the Dutch composer Hendrik Andersen.
I wanted to mention sports in Holland, but on second thought I decided not to, because apart from some successes in swimming and field hockey, there really hasn't been much to rave about.
Well, just the same, I'd like to recall the international chess tournament at Amsterdam, which was a tremendous success. Of the 20 players, Miguel Najdorf of Argentine won the first prize, with the American Samuel Reshevsky as a close runner-up. They are now considered to be the strongest players outside Russia.
Well, they must be. It was a very good exhibition. And talking about exhibitions, there have been quite a few in Holland this year. Milestone 1950 in Arnhem, which turned out a financial flop, unfortunately, and Avifauna, the bird sanctuary at Alphen, which is permanent and extremely interesting. There's the Keukenhof display, which we mentioned earlier. And then, of course, Rotterdam Ahoy, which I think was perhaps the biggest success of the year. Well, they at least had a large profit. We'll leave it to those Rotterdammers to display their shipping and harbors.
Oh, yes, shipping. We also have some events in that field. Now, let me see. In August, Queen Juliana launched the first Dutch cruiser to be built at a Rotterdam shipyard after the war, the Seven Provinces.
Ik noem u de Zeven Provinciën en ik wens u een goede vaart.
And also in August, two American frigates, or destroyer escorts, were handed over to the Dutch Navy under the Mutual Defense Assistance Program. After the transfer at Den Helder Naval Base, the American ambassador, Selden Chapin, who was an ex-naval man himself, said,
I'm sorry I can't join you when you put to sea again. It is my hope that you will always have smooth seas and sunny harbors. But if the worst should come, which God forbid, and these ships should be forced again into battle, then I wish Godspeed and good hunting.
In October, a Canadian Special Services squadron consisting of the aircraft carrier Magnificent and two destroyers was the first official Canadian naval unit ever to call at a Dutch port. At a reception for the crews, Mr. Pierre Dupuy, the Canadian ambassador, stated,
Until now, our Dutch friends had seen quite a number of Canadian soldiers, but they didn't have a chance before today of meeting the Canadian Navy. And I must say that the representatives who have been coming from Canada are so good representatives of our country that they compete with the ambassador on the spot.
And competing with our Netherlands ambassadors in North and South America was His Royal Highness Prince Bernhard, who earlier this year made a successful tour of the Western Hemisphere on a goodwill mission for his country. After 3 months, the prince returned by air to Holland.
In order that our American friends will know you're back here once more, could you say that what kind of a trip you had?
Well, I had a wonderful trip, and everybody was terribly nice to me, and I couldn't have enjoyed it more.
Thank you very much, Your Highness.
Gordon, you know, I've got a bag full of celebrations and anniversaries here. Shall we pick them at random? I'll choose the items, and you make the corresponding noises.
All right, what's the first one?
Well, the Foreign Press Association here celebrated its 25th anniversary.
Good.
Uh-huh. And then the Royal Netherlands Dairy Federation had its Golden Jubilee. Now, same to you. Now, what's this? What have we got here? Leiden University, the oldest in Holland, celebrated its 375th anniversary.
Io vivat, io vivat nostrorum sanitas.
And 60 years were recorded for the Royal Dutch Petroleum Company. The same number of years goes for the Dutch Hotel, Restaurant and Cafe Association. Can you beat that one?
Oh, sure, that's easy.
All right, you win. But that sound reminds me. The association has made a 40 million guilder profit this year, and it has another $30 million coming from the ECA counterpart funds for the expansion of hotel accommodation. And that is the Symphonic Variations by Henk Bardings, which won the first prize award in the contest on the occasion of the 75th anniversary of the Royal Netherlands Musician Society.
In Hilversum in de 25 en 49 meter band met onze dagelijkse uitzending voor alle land- en rijksgenoten buiten het vaderland.
Goedenavond, dit is de International Service of Radio Nederland in Hilversum, Holland.
Yes, you've guessed it. That babel of tongues is spoken at Radio Nederland, our and your station, which celebrated its 5th birthday last October. Shall we wish ourselves many more happy returns of the day, Gordon?
Well, by all means, Cyril, but listen, I've got one more sound here. Haven't you forgotten something?
No, what's that? Oh, yes, the annual horse show at Zoutladen in the north of Holland. It celebrated its 750th anniversary in October. It's the largest and oldest in Europe, and right now the last item from this birthday bag.
Well, now Holland is still the country of international congresses, especially during the summer months. There's one after the other. We have the diamond manufacturers from all over the world meeting in Amsterdam, and the experts on housing and town planning, and the historians of the Second World War swap notes in Amsterdam. 39 countries were represented at the Congress for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, but the largest of them all was, I think undoubtedly, the 21st International Congress at Amsterdam of Pax Romana, the Roman Catholic Student Organization. For this being Holy Year, we wondered why the 2,500 delegates didn't meet in Rome, and we asked James O'Neill from the United States about this.
I have no intimate knowledge of this, but probably one reason for putting it out of Rome is because there isn't room for any more people in Rome.
Yes, the Holy Year has brought millions of pilgrims from all parts of the world to Rome, and quite a number of them flew by KLM Royal Dutch Airlines. As to that, KLM had a pretty good year, hadn't it?
Yes, it certainly did. It was a year of round figures for them. The West Indies branch celebrated its 15th anniversary, and so did the KLM stewardess corps. In their transatlantic service, the 100,000th passenger was booked, who happened to be Mrs. Catalano from New York, and her husband. They were post-war passengers, and they told us,
"This is my third time, but two times with the KLM."
Uh-huh. Well, you are a customer of KLM,
yes,
I think.
Yes, 2 years ago I flew with KLM again, and this is my second trip.
Did you enjoy the trip?
There's nothing better to ride with KLM.
No wonder that KLM marked its 1,000th return flight Amsterdam-New York. The pilot of that flight, George Malouin, who's been with them right from the beginning of the service, made the following comment.
5 years ago, when the service started, that the route was flown with DC-4s, later with Constellation aircraft, and finally with Constellation aircraft of the latest and most modern sort.
Schiphol, as Amsterdam's civil airport, is now exactly 30 years old, and so is KLM's Amsterdam-London service.
Yes, and the Amsterdam-Jakarta line, the oldest long-distance route in the world, 9,000 miles, is 20 years old. And it's now also the fastest service, covering that distance in only 36 hours. And yet, the spirit of KLM shows in what Mr. Van Os van Delden, manager of the Eastern Service, had to say.
We are not satisfied. We will keep on improving this airway, which we hope will continue to be a link between the peoples of Holland and Indonesia.
Now that we've touched upon Indonesia, we might as well see how the relations between Holland and that young state have developed this year. In February, Professor Amory van den Bos, who is an American expert on the Far East, came to Holland and he gave his opinion on the status of this union.
Each has a great deal to offer the other, and each needs the other. I very much hope that they will make a success of it. It'll also be something unique in the world in the way of cooperation. A Western and a Asiatic country in a union is really something new.
Last year, 14 American journalists wanted to find out about conditions in Indonesia, and they flew there at the invitation of the Netherlands government. On their way back, however, they were killed in an air crash over Bombay. And to commemorate them, a plaque was unveiled last July in the facade of the Dutch Press Institute at Amsterdam. Ambassador Selden Chapin said this in his unveiling speech.
This unveiling is another example of the cooperation and friendly feeling which has always existed between my country and yours. The United States believes in the free flow of information within and across national boundaries. So does the Netherlands. Together with all freedom-loving and truly democratic nations, we believe in the pursuit of truth, in digging out the facts and telling people about them. It was on such a mission that the 14 that we are honoring today lost their lives.
In the United States, an annual award was instituted to commemorate these journalists. It is called the William the Silent Award and is given to an American newspaperman for the best story of the year about Holland. Dan Shore, Christian Science Monitor correspondent at The Hague, was the first to win this prize.
Well, when I picked myself up from the floor, I said thank you very much. We all had a little drink on that, and one of the first things I did was send a cable to my mother. I thought she might be interested in knowing that her son had at last done something worthwhile. To my great surprise, I got a cable back from my mother saying that my information was not necessary. She had been at a dinner in New York where the award was made.
Now, when we said earlier in this program that there was no Indonesian problem, we forgot to mention that at the moment there is the New Guinea problem. Up to last Wednesday, delegations of Holland and Indonesia have been discussing the sovereignty issue of the island, but so far neither party has given in, and we still don't know what New Guinea's future status is going to be. That, we hope, may be decided next year.
We started off this window with the royal visit to Paris, and to wind it up now, here is...
Last November...
The state visit of Queen Juliana to Great Britain.
Last November, the Queen and Prince Bernhard arrived in London, where they were welcomed by King George and Queen Elizabeth at Victoria Station. From there, they drove to Buckingham Palace, and they were cheered by the thousands of people lining the route of the procession.
Who said that Britons were phlegmatic? Certainly not during this visit of the Dutch Queen. The highlight of those days was the reception at the medieval Guildhall where London's Lord Mayor entertained his high guests at a luncheon.
Your Royal Highness, Your Excellencies, Your Graces, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the toast of Her Majesty the Queen of the Netherlands, and I invite you also to drink the health of His Royal Highness, the Prince of the Netherlands.
Toast is Her Majesty, the Queen of the Netherlands, and His Royal Highness, the Prince of the Netherlands.
Her Majesty Queen Juliana then replied to the Lord Mayor's toast.
My Lord Mayor, Your Royal Highnesses, Your Excellencies, Your Graces, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, pray silence for Her Majesty, the Queen of the Netherlands.
This our visit is not a mere courtesy. We are not here only to commemorate how often in the past Great Britain and the Netherlands have lived in amity and alliance, and to conceal how often we came to grips. And not even how a world disaster has cemented our friendship. For among countries that fought together and since stand together, that is nowadays, I'm most grateful to state, a well-established fact.
At Claridge's, Queen Juliana entertained the British royal family and many authorities at a gala banquet, which was 100% Dutch, as all the ingredients, the decorations, and even the personnel had been sent from Holland. There were more receptions and a visit to a time and talent settlement at Bermondsey. But the most moving ceremony was on the ruins of the destroyed Dutch Reformed Church at Austin Friars, where a new one is now being built. There, the entire Dutch colony of London gathered to cheer their queen and to sing the national anthem.
And with that, we close our window for this year. So until we reopen it, next year, next week, same time, Happy New Year, and we'll be seeing you.